I am unashamed. What about you?
So we want to welcome a very special guest to Unashamed Nation, Senator Ted Cruz. And Senator Cruz, you've actually the room we're recording in is right on the edge of our hunting property. You've been here because you actually came on a duck hunt with us back in 16 when we did. Dad and I endorsed you for president.
I wanted Ted Cruz to be the president of the United States.
You did. Yeah. And so it was great to have you. It's great to have you back.
Well, it was awesome fun. Going on that duck hunt is one of the most fun things I've ever seen. And I tell you, your dad, I still tell people, is the best shot with a shotgun I've ever seen.
No, that's the truth.
Phil, you would take down birds at a distance. I wouldn't even pick up my gun. They were barely specks on the horizon. And it was strong. It was a sight to behold.
Cruz, let's face it. You've been in Washington too long, son. You need to get out in the great outdoors more. So basically, look, who hung, they tell me, I've never been there, who hung the mural of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments? They told me it's on the doors of the Supreme Court and it's hanging above their head. Who put that there?
So you're right. Actually, the image of the Ten Commandments appears 43 times in the courtroom of the Supreme Court.
Wow.
It's carved twice.
I wonder why. Well,
that's exactly right. It's carved twice on the doorway. So when you're walking out of the court, it appears twice carved into the wooden doorways. It is 40 times on the brass gates along the side. And then up above the justice's left shoulder, there is a frieze that's carved into the wall. When they built the Supreme Court, they put it there. And it's a frieze of great lawgivers. And one of them he's holding the Ten Commandments. He's looking down on them. The text is legible in Hebrew. And yet, when we went to the Supreme Court defending the Ten Commandments monument in Texas that's on the state capitol grounds, the vote was 5-4. Four justices were ready to say, tear it down. You can't even acknowledge the Ten Commandments.
Wow. isn't that crazy?
Is it crazy? The Christian religion, its general principles must ever be regarded among us as the foundation of civil society. Daniel Webster, U.S. Senator, like yourself, Secretary of State, defender of the Constitution. So how do these people target a individual who would sit on the Supreme Court because of her faith? Are we that far gone?
Yeah. Look, the radical left, they hate people of faith. And there's been an assault. As you guys know, I have a new book coming out this week called One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History. And each chapter talks about a different constitutional liberty. There's one chapter on religious liberty, and it actually talks about the Ten Commandments case we just talked about. There's a chapter on free speech, a chapter on the Second Amendment, a chapter on U.S. sovereignty. And what it does is it tells the inside war stories of what went on. I litigated many of the landmark cases on our fundamental rights, and it tells what's going on with the justices, what's happening, how we got so extreme. And it really started in the 1960s, where left-wing activists started going to the court and using it as a tool to attack religious liberty and to try to erase any mention of God from the public square. And it's the same thing we're seeing in the hostility and the attacks directed at Judge Barrett, because she's a practicing Catholic. And for a lot of Democrats, their view is if you are a believer, you are not suitable to be a judge or in public office.
Yeah. Well, I had a question. But what I find is impressive that you wrote this book in 3 days and released it a week later. So I know you must be smart. But by the way,
it's the most timely book release I've ever heard of. I mean, you talk about you were ahead of the curve on this one. That was congratulations.
I wrote that last night. We'll release it in a week. It'll be great. You'll love it. But the question.
That's why he was one of the in the list of the next Supreme Court judges. That's why he was on the list.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
So my question was, though, I mean, you know, I know you're a very intelligent man, but from what I've read, because I know that they're going to attack her during this process.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was against the Constitution to test someone's religious beliefs during the process.
No, Jace, I got an answer for you, son. You need to brush up on the Constitution. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Now, that seems pretty clear to me, Cruz.
It is, and it should be. You're absolutely right. The Constitution explicitly prohibits a religious test. And we saw when Judge Barrett was nominated to the Court of Appeals, we saw Democrats, Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, asked if she was an Orthodox Catholic. I'm not sure what that adjective Orthodox is supposed to be.
Feinstein is saying, you know, dogmas coming out of you. Dogma.
Yep.
That's what she referred to the scriptures as and the Constitution, really.
It's they look down their view. You can have a religion if you don't really, if it doesn't mean much to you, if it's just kind of like a social club, it's okay. But if you actually believe the stuff, that from their view is disqualifying. And unfortunately, they look down on a whole lot of America as a bunch of just ignorant rubes. Yeah. And that condescension you can see in almost every word they say.
Yeah. Well, it's like, so I've had the pleasure of hearing your dad speak, and I thought about it. Your dad, Senator Cruz, is a lot like my dad. The dogma speaks loudly in both of them, and I think that's a good thing.
Yep.
You know, clear lines of truth, and so, you know, that's the kind of person, I mean, we've been talking about it. If someone is persecuted because of their faith, that's the kind of person I want on the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of person that understands how important these decisions are, you know, that they're making, which I think is amazing.
Well, and you and I are blessed to have strong fathers who are not shy, will tell us what they think, whether we like it or not, they're going to tell us what they think.
That's right.
And it's to have a father who is bold, who loves God, who speaks the truth. I mean, it's an inspiration for a son. My dad is my hero. And it's one of the fun chances I got a few years back was introducing Phil and my dad, because yep, they're both extraordinary men.
I was doing an event the other night. A person came up and said, I want to thank you so much for the podcast. I was like, awesome. You know, we're sharing Jesus. And she said, well, yeah, but you introduced me to Black Rifle Coffee. I just wanted to thank you for that. It's like, whoa. Yeah,
yeah. It's good coffee. I don't know if it's as good as
that's
Jesus,
what I
though.
Know, but hey, they liked it. It's good.
But you guys, because I mentioned this last time. Yeah, y'all are very particular about your coffee.
You think?
I mean, that's been a, in fact, the first In the Woods with Phil episode we did was, I think, you drinking, how to make a cup of coffee. So you've been doing this. You've been at this a long time. Black Rifle Coffee Company, one of our sponsors. You guys got to check them out. Get the freshest coffee in America, and you don't even have to leave your couch. So go to blackriflecoffee.com/Phil and use our promo code Phil, and you get 20% off your first purchase. That's 20% off your purchase at blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. Use the promo code Phil.
But tell us, Senator Cruz, to our audience, so your dad was an immigrant, right, from Cuba. Did he come? When did he come?
Yeah.
Kind of tell a little bit about how that happened and why that has led to, you know, you guys doing what you do.
Yeah, so my dad was born in Cuba. He grew up there. And as a kid, he began fighting in the Cuban Revolution. He actually fought alongside Fidel Castro.
Wow.
And he didn't know Castro was a communist. He just knew Batista was the dictator, and Batista was corrupt, and he was cruel. And my dad, he was 14, 15 years old, started fighting the revolution. And when he was 17, Batista's police caught him and they threw him in prison and they tortured him. They broke his nose. They shattered his teeth. Mm. They beat him badly in prison. And he fled Cuba in 1957 and came to Texas. Actually, he might well, he applied to three U.S. universities, University of Miami, LSU, and University of Texas. And UT let him in. That's how I'm a Texan, because that's
You could have been a Cajun if LSU had taken him.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, my parents met in New Orleans, and my mom went to high school in Baton Rouge. So we've got deep Louisiana roots.
That's awesome.
Well, you know.
When my dad came to America, he couldn't speak English. He had nothing. He had $100 in his underwear, and he got a job washing dishes, making 50 cents an hour.
Wow.
And, you know, my dad was not a believer at the time. He you know, told me when he was in jail in Cuba that his thought then is, he said, look, I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. It doesn't matter if I live or die. And he lived a pretty hard life, and he partied. And when I was a little kid, he and my mom, they were in the oil and gas business. And when I was 3 years old, my dad left my mom, left us. And we were up in Calgary. He came back to Texas, to Houston, and he was out partying and drinking and decided he didn't want to be a dad anymore. And a friend of his, a colleague in the oil and gas business, invited him to Clay Road Baptist Church. And he became a Christian.
Wow.
And it turned his life around. And he went and bought an airplane ticket and flew back to get my mom and me. And it's why I was raised in a home with a dad and a mom, is because my father became a Christian, and my mom, not too long after that, became a Christian as well. And so for me, I mean, I've seen the redeeming power of salvation in my own family. And today, as you know, my dad is a pastor.
Yep.
He's 81 and travels the country really preaching. In particular, he's got a ministry to other pastors, trying to encourage pastors to speak out and engage on the issues that matter, and don't hide behind the pulpit as too many pastors do.
Well, that story, Al, amazingly, George Washington, the first president of these United States, you do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ, which Cruz's dad found. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. This is really going to help you.
Right.
The teachings about Jesus Christ, and there's an example of it right there.
Right, yeah.
We have a U.S. senator who I hope, after Trump wins, I hope he does win. I think he will. After he wins, and we do get Amy on the Supreme Court,
right.
I hope old Cruz will just slide right in there behind Trump. And we'll rock on.
That would
Cruz,
be nice.
If you decide to run after the next 4 years, you'll be older than you are now. I'd be hitting that 80 mark right along in there somewhere. But I'd like to see old Cruz end up at the helm.
Well, obviously, we respect you so much and the stand you've always taken. And I had no idea that story about your dad. So our stories really mirror you.
Really do.
Yeah, because dad, the same thing. He was converted mm-hmm. later, and Jason and I were in a non-Christian home early, mm-hmm. and then obviously it turned our life around and yours. I tell you this, Senator Cruz, I was the night you won Iowa at the beginning back in 16, you mentioned dad in your acceptance speech. And it was late, you know, I think maybe 11 o'clock at night, and so I was just sitting there listening to your speech. And, I mean, I just got so emotional. I hadn't wept over many things. I was just weeping because I thought, looking at you in that point, of course, at that point, we thought you were going to win. You know, things changed. But in that moment, when you mentioned dad, I just thought it overwhelmed me because I thought that your humble beginnings, our humble beginnings, and yet here we were talking about influence in a presidential election. Like people, you know, what I call salt of the earth people, running for the presidency of the United States, and then dad, you're mentioning him, that he's trying to help you get there. And so it just really was a reminder to me how important it is for all of our audience to be a part of this process, to register to vote, to be engaged, because we've got some, quite frankly, some lunatics running around on the other side.
Yeah, I think it was John Adams, after he looked at the Constitution from James Madison, I think it was Adams who said, this Constitution was written for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. Well, we're living in the days of the any others. You know what I'm saying? And they've stepped up here. And it's a scary thing to me, and a sad thing more than it is anything else. It's scary and it's sad. I've got to where I don't call them left-wingers. I just think the soldiers of Satan have lined up against the soldiers of Christ, and we are butting heads right now. And I pray that God will be with us and deliver us from this scourge that's upon us. So we appreciate what you're doing, Cruz. We really do.
Well, thank you. And a word of encouragement. Truth will prevail. It doesn't necessarily prevail in every skirmish and every battle, but over the long term. And actually, the difference that your family makes, speaking out, being happily, unapologetically Christian, being believers, preaching the gospel, is powerful. And it's, the media doesn't want anyone to see it. The left doesn't want anyone to see it. We're not supposed to exist. We're not supposed to believe what we believe. And one of the things they don't get also, because all of us are fallen people, you know, everything they accuse us of is in fact what they're doing, which is being judgmental, condemning people, hating people, canceling being intolerant. People, you know, all of us have.
Yeah. By the way, we are converting more people right now at this time frame, would y'all agree, than we ever have.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of people
something
are coming
out there, Cruz, because they're coming many miles, and we're baptizing them like they did in the old book of Acts, you know, but they just keep coming from all the states in the United States all we're doing is pointing them to Jesus. Something's going on out there, Al. Would you agree?
I would agree. And we're all a part of the process. We know you're a busy man. You got things to do. Tell us again. Tell us about your podcast quickly so our audience could check that out, because I've listened to one. And it's really, really good.
So we've got a podcast. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. And it we launched it during the impeachment trial. Right. And it went from non-existent to it actually skyrocketed and became the top podcast in the world during the impeachment trial.
Right.
And so we do it every week. And as you guys know, the podcast format is great because you can actually get into something and talk about it, not in a little, you know, 30-second soundbite, but actually talk about a topic that matters. Yeah. And then the book, you know, you guys were joking about writing it a couple of days. I actually wrote it this spring and summer. So, before I was in the Senate, what I did for a living was argue cases in front of the Supreme Court. And so this has really been fighting for the Constitution and Bill of Rights has been my life passion. And I wrote it because so many of our rights, free speech, religious liberty, the Second Amendment. Look, the Heller case, I represented Texas and 30 other states defending the Second Amendment. There are four justices on the Supreme Court who voted to essentially erase the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights, to conclude that no American has any individual right at all under the Bill of Rights to keep and bear arms. And Joe Biden has said if he gets to appoint justices, he will appoint justices who will provide the fifth vote to erase the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights. And so what I would encourage the folks listening, the book is One Vote Away, One Vote Away. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can get it at the website, onevoteaway.com, and it tells the inside story of what's going on in these cases, who the justices are, why they're voting the way they are, who the litigants are, and you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to, if you care about free speech or religious liberty or the Bill of Rights, this book explains how many of our liberties are really hanging in the balance. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Senator Cruz, we really appreciate having you, and I tell you, not many people have the credentials to be a senator, to be a president, or to be a Supreme Court justice, and you have them all. And I think that says a lot about
you.
So thank you for being on Unashamed. We're behind you 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, and keep speaking the truth.
Hey, thanks.
Yes, sir.
So you're happy with your cell phone plan right now and your carrier?
Cell phone free zone.
So Phil has a cell phone free zone, so he's yeah. perfectly happy with his carrier.
I don't know how many out there, but everyone I ask to the person 100% when I say I don't have a cell phone, I never clicked onto the computer, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Every one of them say.
They say nothing?
You're missing nothing.
Well, for the I have to have a cell phone or I wouldn't be able to operate the business, but yeah. And you wouldn't be able to trade your stocks, right?
Well, they wouldn't be hearing what we're saying right now.
That's true.
So in modern society, Phil, the cell phone is here, and it's going to stay.
I'm not fighting it. I'm just deciding.
Yeah. So if you're going to get a cell phone, you might as well go ahead and go to patriotmobile.com/Phil. That's patriotmobile.com/Phil and get a free activation plus a special gift with our offer code, and our offer code is Phil. Or you can call the U.S.-based customer service team. Well, that's nice, a U.S.-based customer service team.
Yeah. I don't have one, but I don't care.
I'm happy for you if you do have one.
This is for your imagination. Imagine if you had a phone. This group, they're going to take the money that you give them for the phone, and they're going to send it to things that you would enjoy.
But knowing no one can contact me. It's a blessing.
Yeah, maybe
it's all in your brain. This is just imagine this.
Yeah. So if you want to call the U.S. based customer service team, that's 972 Patriot, or again you could go to patriotmobile.com/Phil.
So that was really interesting.
You
know, we've never had a sitting senator. I don't think in the duck blind or on the podcast. Can you remember one?
I don't have a great memory, though. But
it was like I told him. It just, and we, you know, we talked about this a few podcasts ago. Some of these things that we've been able to do, obviously because of the show, but we all believe God sort of built this destiny for us to be doing what we're doing now and impacting people. It's just I still find myself kind of just in a pinch me mode that, you know, a guy like Cruz, who I really, really respect, super smart and a good person, you know, is a sitting senator that really could be. I mean, you and I support him for president. And of course, then we got behind Trump. Jace and Willie were more Trump guys early on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't matter. Like, whoever was going against Hillary Clinton was going to be, I don't care who it was, I was going
to
be a boy.
And I mean, I didn't say you, because he came to my house.
You know the Trump boys.
Well, right. I knew them before. Right. And so, because when Senator Cruz came to my, you know, what's weird about this is Phil had endorsed him and invited him to come. And so he did. But Phil and Kay invited him to come to my house. I'm like, well, I'm voting for the Trumps, so you're putting me in it. Phil's like, I'd be like, just long, you know. And then it was like,
I wonder why did it wind up at your house? Because,
it was
because it was in town or whatever.
It was a logistic thing.
I got you.
They just thought, okay, we need a house. Jace, we're coming over there, you know. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, which was weird because then when Trump Jr. got wind of it, he was like, sending me a text, hey, what's up with all this Cruz stuff? Which then led him to come down.
Yeah, he came down and hunted. But you know, that night we cooked steaks. They were a little bit late getting there. We cooked steaks, I remember. Mm-hmm. And then, but when he got there, we were just kind of sitting around your living room talking. But then, like, they were hungry, so it was getting ready to eat. So we were going to pray, you know, for the food. But then we, like, surrounded him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. You know, go through the process. Yeah. I mean, but I thought about that. Even whether you support somebody or not, I mean, isn't that what you want to do, is ask God into the situation? Because I'm telling you something, to be honest with you, I don't know why anybody would run for president or anything else. And look, we need them, but I'm saying they have made it so difficult on these people, the way they treat it. I mean,
it's just, we're a divided country right now.
Well, it's
they're
just
like, right. They're coming with everything they got. I mean, we gripe and complain about some of the persecution we've got.
Right.
That's nothing. Can you imagine President Trump? What I mean, it is literally, there are tens of thousands of people who wake up every morning.
Oh, there's millions. There's more tens of thousands.
Well, I just mean they've made it. All they do is just attack.
There's millions that way. And then every day, if I had to face that, which hats off to President Trump. I mean, when he walks into that media room, we talked about snakes, you know, on the last podcast. You talk about a nest of vipers. Oh, yeah. I mean, those people, they hate him too. You know, and it's just constant vitriol.
There were broods of vipers in the first century, according to John the Baptist and Jesus. Yeah. Jesus normally wouldn't call human beings a brood of vipers, snakes.
That's right.
But he did when he got to the irreligious and the ones who were strung him up.
You know what his biggest issue was with them? They were hypocrites.
Yep.
Because he kept saying that over and over, you hypocrites. And that's what I see today with sort of the left side thinking is they're such hypocrites. I mean, like they'll tell you one thing, you've got to do this, and turn right around and do it themselves, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, that's why I asked him that question when I said, isn't it unconstitutional to act, because that's the one thing I know, because the religious people of faith, I had run across that somewhere, to ask, because here's this woman who's been nominated, who is vocal, I mean, or not ashamed of her faith, but, and that's not really, you know, what she's there for, but I know how the left is going to work it.
Right.
That's what they're going to attack, which is unconstitutional.
Right.
So when you,
but
to get the hypocritical part of it, so just think about what they're doing. They're attacking her in an unconstitutional way in the process of her of determining whether she is going to uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
Which they are actually
violating.
That's why the battle doesn't stop when the Constitution is introduced, because they don't believe in the Constitution. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. That's what they don't like.
Right.
Therefore, it is spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. That's them. There they are. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity.
You're quoting Romans 1.
Romans 1. They are full of murder.
Yep.
Envy. You say, envy? Why would envy be right beside murder? Envious of what? You have it. I don't. I want it. You got it. And I'm mad about it. That's the whole setup.
Yeah. Yep.
So though I'm as far into politics as I'm going to go. I'm just simply saying, let's see, Amy Barrett is what? A woman of faith? I'm like,
yep.
She's your woman.
She's from.
They're all saying no. But regardless of what the Constitution says.
That's right.
It's not just that. She has 7 kids. 2 of them are adopted from Haiti. And, you know, my wife runs a.
What an act of kindness.
Well, I was just going to say she helps a. What is it? Like a.
Adoption center or orphanage?
Well, orphanage. It right across the border from Haiti. In the Dominican Republic, but some of the Haitian orphans come there.
Yeah, I've
seen she's that. Like, they're really oppressed people, even from like the Dominican culture to the Haitian.
That's right. They don't like them.
Oh, they don't like them, and because their skin is darker,
right.
Basically. Here, you know, that's just the truth.
Oh yeah,
and so
everybody's poor, but
and they're the,
but I'm like,
they're the tolerant ones,
and I'm like, now here's this woman. Who has 7 kids? And 2 of them are adopted from Haiti.
Yep.
So I know you can already weed out any kind of racist, biased, whatever word that they've invented that they'll probably attack her on.
Oh, not probably. It's already happened.
Well, yeah.
Here was the thing I saw an article, a opinion piece. look how shameful the president and Barrett are doing by parading out their rainbow and, you know, special needs kids just for politics. So, like, they're making it a negative.
Well, right.
You know,
well, they did the same thing with us.
Right.
Because we're, you know, our family is the United Nations. That's through right. adoption. And, and then they're like, I cannot believe that they are actually defending themselves by showing off their adopted African-American children. I'm like, no, we weren't. That happened before this country.
The word I got is the word I got from Jephthah and his wife, Miss Kay, said they've adopted a baby. I said, well, good night. Great. She didn't go into any details. She said they adopted a baby.
Yeah. So nobody talked about what color.
So you have another grandson. Yeah. Well, I go up there about a week later. I roll in there. You know, I said, you know, somebody says, show him the baby. Well, he comes out and he's a soul brother. I said, well, good night. I said, I didn't know. They didn't say we adopted a baby. Yeah. And guess what? He's black. No. They just say you adopted a baby. But to me, well, that's my
grandson.
Would
it have mattered if they had told you that?
No.
No. Of course not, because you don't notice.
They didn't have to differentiate. It was a baby, for crying out loud. By the way, without religion, and about where we are in the United States, we're heading in that direction. This world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean, hell. John Adams, the second president. Without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean, hell. So I'm like, old John Adams, he had a way with words, but that's a pretty good statement. Yeah, well, that's where we are. If he looked at us right now, 244 years later, Al, John Adams would shake his head and say, what in the world have y'all done to our republic?
It's true.
It's pathetic to watch.
Let's take a break.
Hi. It's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
It's like old Franklin said. He said, it's a great republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
I mean, because they knew. They were like, it's going to be rough.
But I was going to finish my thought. You know, she also has a child that's the nominee that has Down syndrome. Yep. And here she has 7 kids, 2 adopted, 1 with special needs. She's worked her way, obviously, up from a career standpoint, has been successful.
Highest position in the land for what she does.
When they first interviewed her, because some of the people were attacking, well, you know, they got like she's the whooped woman, or, you know, I saw the article about that. But she said that about her husband. She's like, well, how does your husband feel? And she said something that I say a lot to my wife, and I'm proud of it. But she said he wakes up most mornings and says, how can I help you today? Because, you know, you're juggling 7 kids, 1 with special needs, 2 adopted.
And you're on the appellate court, you know.
I came out of a family of 7 kids, and trust me, it was pretty hectic.
Yeah, and she said, well, you know, for years I would say nothing most of the time. She's like, but now I've actually been saying, well, I'm glad you asked. Because with everything going on, but I'm saying everything about her character and her personality, it just flies in the face of what they're trying to find something.
Yeah. They're attacking a woman that John Adams said the Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, Amy Barrett, equity, Amy Barrett, and humanity. She's that kind of woman that John Adams was speaking of. And look what they're doing to her. So it finally gets down to, look what they did to Jesus, boys. Yep. Look what they did to him, and he never made a mistake.
And she's from Louisiana, which is a plus.
Well, we're biased on that.
We're very biased on that. That's a plus. I wonder if there's ever been a Supreme Court justice from Louisiana. I have to research
that. It's a good question.
I'll have to research that. So one of the things that I'm not looking forward to in the confirmation, which will start in a couple of weeks, because it's already started. There's a bunch of Democrats that won't even meet with her, but they were quick to say, but we will question her. And it's going to be so hard. In fact, I have to watch it because I have to. But
you can tell me about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. But the grandstanding, I mean, we saw this with Kavanaugh. They're going to have a lot harder time pinning on her what they tried on him.
Very much so.
But when it comes to evil people, they'll invent ways, trust me.
Well, what's to keep them from just stalling till the 44 days?
Because they're not in charge. See, the Senate.
But, I mean, what if they just never. So you're saying at some point they're just going to say the questions are over.
Right.
You're out of
your
allotted time.
So when the person in charge of the Judiciary Committee, which is Lindsey Graham, he sets the rules for how this is going to go. Oh, so they don't have a choice. I mean, they're going to gripe.
That was the answer. Yeah. 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 I was wondering. I mean.
Because they keep saying that about, well, they're going to be trying this, that, and the other. But ultimately, they don't run the show here.
You know, the
question. Because we are the majority.
The question would be, how in the world did a guy, and I've quoted John Adams here about 3 or 4 times, George Washington, Daniel Webster, those guys, two of them. George Washington, the first president, I think Adams was number two. He said, I've examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. You say, and they elected him as president of the United States? That's how far down we've dumbed it down to now it's become a litmus test on whether he need be a Supreme Court justice. If you believe the Bible is true, which John Adams says, it's the best book in the world.
That's right.
What a statement. That's a statement I can get behind.
And look, and they elected him. But now it's a test. You can't be religious anymore because then they'll say they're like us. Right. Bunch of redneck hayseeds. They don't have enough sense to pour pee out of a boot. So
but you know what's interesting about
that? Are they talking about politics for? We're just looking for godly men and women to get in there.
Back to the hypocrisy of it. They always accuse Trump of not being a godly. Like, how do you evangelicals vote for Trump?
He was a heathen.
And then they go into how he's not religious and he doesn't, you know, and all this stuff. So, I mean, there's no way to win.
Wisdom is proved right by our actions is all I can say about that.
They keep fooling around, and I'll volunteer and I'll run just to see if I can get it. But I can see it now. If I run, boys, you talking about some static.
I think the two most shocking events of the interview were that Senator Cruz grew him a little beard for the interview.
No, he's had the beard about 2 years.
And whiskers coming out of his face. The whiskers are coming out.
It was
a joke. I'm telling you, Jace, it's catching on.
It was a joke because he wrote his book in 3 days and he grew a beard in 10 minutes to be on our show.
I like a life where you never have to shave.
Well, I do too. And the second thing.
I think it gave him some attitude. He'll never shave that beard off because ever since he's had the beard. That's what Greg Gutfeld said. He said he's like a cruise missile now. Because, I mean, like, he's been on a roll.
Well, embarrassingly, I didn't even know when y'all said he was going to be on. I was like, oh, is he still in politics?
No, Jay said, he's not even in politics. Why are we having to? Yeah. I was like,
what were we doing talking to him?
I thought I heard that somewhere.
I was like, Jay, he's going to be on the Judiciary Committee.
He's the point man.
Jay's like, is he still a deal? You know,
I'm representing our listeners who kind of keep politics out of
all 12. Of you out there that don't know what day it is, you know, Jace is your leader.
Well, what the other thing I was shocked is when I asked him the question, which y'all like my question.
It was a great question.
Phil interrupted and read. I didn't know Phil carried around the actual Constitution of the United States.
I mean, literally.
Jace, I'm carrying weapons that you never heard of, son.
He just pulls it out of his pocket like, you know, I'll tell you what the Constitution is.
Well, I was thinking,
you know why? Because I said, who are we going to talk to? When you said Ted Cruz, I said, where's that book on the Constitution, Miss Kay?
Well, where did you get it? That's what I was curious on how you come.
I have a lot of them, but Miss Kay gave me that one. She said, I tell you where
it is. He's got a stack of them.
She's a hoarder, so she knows where everything is. She goes looking through all them boxes of books, and she comes up with this. I said, I will carry that to the meeting because I'm going to need that with a constitutional scholar. Oh, what's the old guy that
Dershowitz?
Dershowitz said he's the best number one student
he ever had at Harvard.
Well, old Dershowitz's pretty sharp. I said. He's left wing about half the time, but I mean,
well, he's more of a libertarian. Actually.
Yeah,
what's disturbing is you said what's that guy's name, and you said Dershowitz, and how did you? I've never even heard of him.
Well, again, I stay informed on what's going on,
but Phil said, what's that guy's name?
Well, it's I knew where he was going. I knew he was like.
Oh, you've heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard him say that before. So I knew he was going down that road.
Oh, he's a smart guy. I was trying to get in, but I knew we had more pressing matters. But from a funny side is when we took him hunting, you know, it was one of the best hunts that we've had in 10 years.
Oh, we killed a lot of ducks.
I mean, they kept me from breaking the law because they had all their little film crew there and – he was there.
It wouldn't have been good. We're endorsing a president, then we shoot too many ducks with him in the blind.
The first thing that happens, y'all know how I am about pintails. I go crazy because we don't get pintails.
That's right.
And it's like 2 minutes till legal, and they're like have lights on, and they're like, you know, trying to, his crew, because they're trying to film the hunt. I was trying to
help his feelings, you know, boom, pow, boom. A shot went out there about 60. He just folded. I said, good shot, Cruz. He said, I didn't shoot.
Yeah, that's
I knew right then he was an honest man. Could have been shy. He said, you better believe that was a good shot.
That's the story I was getting to, because Phil, when he did that, I was like, I mean, because I've done the same thing. Because he was trying to make him feel better.
Right.
He's like, no, I didn't shoot, Phil. But we had six pintails come in 2 minutes before legal. Just like, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen,
right,
with all this circus going on and lit on the water.
And I was like, hardly ever happens.
I'm so glad they're here because that would have put me in a situation. I'm not going to break the law while there's a senator in the blind.
Who is running a constitutional scholar
running for president.
But right now, in this moment, I'm thinking, what if they weren't here?
By the way, though, think about it, Al. He just reinforced what I've heard. I never been to inside the Supreme Court, but he pretty well, what did he say,
43 different
them,
places.
The Ten Commandments are hanging there.
Yeah,
or and the Sixth Commandment says, do not murder. It is interesting that you get a woman in there, she's not for abortion.
Right.
She's not for murdering children. Do not murder is the Sixth Commandment. That's why I've often said, there's a big difference between the Supreme Court and the Supreme Being. But if what the Supreme Being said is hanging over your head, you should at least look up every once in a while and say, number six, do not murder. There's a child inside a mother's womb, and they say, well, you kill them, it's not murder. Oh, it's murder.
So let's take a break, and then I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this in our last segment for this.
You can be forgiven of it, girls.
You know, it's two things that you're hearing about a lot, and the idea of obviously why Trump, by the way, constitutionally, by appointing her and nominating her, and then by the Senate now doing that, all these are constitutional. The Democrats are just screaming and pitching a fit, but this is all constitutionally correct, what they're doing. And here's a couple of important reasons why, I think. One is because more than likely, this election is going to be, you know, a melee, a mess. I mean, the country's very divided. We've already got this stuff set up about the mail-in votes. This thing's going to be like 2000, probably. Remember, with it was Bush and Gore, the Supreme Court had to decide who won the election. They're the ultimate deciders.
I'm thinking landslide for Trump.
That's because, what I'm hoping for.
Because,
landslide?
Because I'm just still have enough hope that out in middle America, these guys at work like us, you know, they call us all these names. I'm just saying, I just think that Trump calls it the hidden majority.
Yeah.
The hidden ones. I just think in this case, any thinking person who says, there's a lot on the line here, I better make sure. The son of John Adams, in the chain, this is the sixth president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation, the United States, is indissolubly, it's all one thing, linked with the birthday of the Savior 2,020 years ago. The Declaration of Independence, listen to this, laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. That's where we came from. It's our roots. It's our bedrock. And to take a woman like Amy Barrett, that's a nominee for the Supreme Court, and to rail against her because of her faith. Surely America is not so far gone as they look at that and say, what in the world are we doing? We need to go vote and get this bunch behind us.
That's right.
So are you going to have way more of the same? You think the rioting and looting is up now instead of 10,000?
Well, they're going to do that anyway.
They're going to come out with 100,000. You just got to meet them head on with brute force.
But I read somewhere, you know, it's
until you get control of it.
I think you're right. I think it comes down to voter turnout, because every election, the people who are registered to vote who didn't vote, if they would have voted for any one of us, we'd have won.
That's right. That's right.
There's more people
That's right.
who choose not to vote.
This 120 million or
crazy.
Whatever that does not vote out of the whole pack, more than that, it's 175 million.
Right.
There's about. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I read somewhere where somebody's estimated that there were 15 million Christians that still haven't registered to vote.
What are they thinking?
I mean, we got to get on this, folks. So, I mean, if anybody in our audience, if unashamed, if you are not registered to vote, go register. Obviously, we want you to vote for Trump.
Well, Trump was a sinful man. I'm like, well, so are all of y'all.
That's right. We all are.
And me. We're all sinful.
But this Supreme Court issue was a big deal in 16. It's a big deal this year, even if she goes in before. But especially if it goes to after, because another problem is if you get a couple of Republican seats in the Senate flipped over, if they haven't already, you know, appointed her, then we're going to have a problem. Then you're going to have the votes. Right now, right. They've got just what they need. So it's another important reason. I want to talk a little bit about the abortion factor. We mentioned abortion in the last podcast because everybody keeps hoping that if you get enough constitutionalists in there, that they may be able to set aside Roe v. Wade. But I do want to tell the audience, even if that happens, I mean, that's made it legal for people to have abortions. But what's happened is a bunch of states have now have in their constitution, New York most famously recently, where even if Roe v. Wade is set aside, you'll still be able to, in New York state, abortion will be legal. Because the state constitutions have said, so have several of those. And it's the typical.
But at least slow it down.
No, I agree. I'm saying we all want that. But in Louisiana this year, so I know we got a lot of Louisiana listeners. So there's a constitutional amendment, Amendment 1, that basically says in the Louisiana state constitution, it will never be legal to have an abortion here. Now, right now, because the feds say you can,
that's the way it ought to be nationwide.
But if Roe v. Wade gets set aside, the only way Louisiana can hold their guns is as our state constitution says, no abortion. So vote yes on Amendment 1 if you live in Louisiana. And that's another reason we need those votes. You think you get that amendment in there. And I think we will. I mean, our governor is a Democrat, but he's pro-life.
Yep.
And he signed the heartbeat bill, which was, I think,
he couldn't have been governor. Been pro death.
He was pro life, and he's pro Second Amendment. Which in Louisiana, you know, I mean, we're mostly a Republican state, but he won based on. And he's a military vet. He went to West Point. We've met him. He's a good guy. I mean, there's things I disagree with him, obviously, you know, on the Democrat side. But I didn't vote for him. But I'm not anti. I think he's done a decent job through the coronavirus and all that. But so I think it's important those issues about voting, which is one of the reasons why that we, you know, had Senator Cruz on today. And I think it's important.
Yeah, I've always functioned as an independent, even though I'm registered Republican. I'm like, if I feel like godly issues are going to be more, you know, from one candidate to another, I could really care less what the word is beside his name as far as Republican and Democrat. It's just usually the Republicans are more in line with godly principles. That's how I vote.
Typically, that's right. And I always respect, you know, Dad asked Governor Edwards, we had breakfast with him at Ms. K's, and you asked him, and I'd already told his people, I said, now look, that's going to say, why are you a Democrat? You know what I mean? You know, so I was like,
just wondering.
I said, if that's going to offend him, we probably don't need to get together because Dad's going to ask him. And sure enough, at some point in the breakfast, you asked him. And I thought his answer was pretty good. He said, well, Phil, he said, obviously you and I agree on a lot of things, and I agree with the Republicans on a lot of issues. He said, but what I'm seeing being done to my party, the party that I grew up a Democrat, my dad was a Democrat, he said, it so pains me that I don't want to get out just leave it, become Republican. I want to change it from the inside where people have some common sense. And, you know, and then he goes into the things he agrees with us about. And I thought that was, you know, a pretty good answer. He's like, if guys like me leave, then the left wing takes the party. And we see where that goes.
Well, they're about there.
I try to distance myself from. There's a lot of people out there, especially in the political world, which is what I don't like about politics. No matter what comes out, they're not open to anything. Yeah. It's whatever comes out, whatever news. They say, well, how do we spin this for our side?
Correct.
I do what the verse says, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. I seek first the kingdom in all matters, politics or whatever. And so I'm open to anything that is said. I don't care what affiliation you're with. But if I go down the road and it's putting the kingdom of God last, well, I'm out.
Although it sounds bad, but our governor is what they call a blue dog Democrat.
Blue dog Democrat.
I have no idea what that means.
Well, blue dog is a derogatory term.
Oh, is it?
Because he's a Democrat, but he's a blue dog because he embraces some Republican principles, of which one is don't kill your babies.
That's exactly right.
And made him a blue dog.
There used to be a lot of blue dogs. There's a lot less now.
I got a dog named Blue.
I've learned a lot
today. You have a blue dog.
Yeah, you actually have a dog named Blue.
Named Blue.
That is really ironic.
All right, so we're out of time. Let me mention his book again, One Vote Away. And he never said this part, but I thought this was great. It said the subtitle is How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History. Boy, that was a heck of a statement. And you talk about a timely book. And I want to mention our book, Dad's book, Jesus Politics. It's now out on an MP3 audio as well as a disc. So you guys that like to listen to them instead of read them, we got that available. So check it out, Amazon.com. Be sure and give us some good reviews as well. Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.